You are listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here with Mike Hagee for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we welcome Daniel Leatherman with Mecklenburg Park and Recreation. Thank you for having. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. So let's get right into it. We were just talking before recording this and just picking your brain, and you were sharing some good stuff. So if you don't mind, Mike, pose that great question to Daniel right now with respect to all the influx of population, the development in Mecklenburg County, and how to make it a more synergistic model. Let's pose that to Daniel.
Yeah, and what we know about Mecklenburg County Park and Rec is that you guys do such a great job in the community of maintaining fantastic, beautifully landscaped areas. But you have a plethora of different services that you provide that you guys do a great job on. And one of the things I happen to know is you're constantly looking at other cities and other models and other, you know, infrastructures in place to say, gosh, what can Charlotte do a little bit better on as a county, as a region? And so, we were talking about this idea of in other markets, creating this synergistic, relationship between developers that want to come to town to a growing, growing awesome southern city, and maintaining green space and walkability to a greenway system or to a nice park that's a part of the community, and having financial incentive and merit so that a developer would want to come here and have those type of partnerships. Can you speak to a little bit about what the Mecklenburg County has done to facilitate those conversations on a higher level?
Yeah, and I will preface it with I am in the aquatics division, so do not take my, this is not gold right here, what I'm saying.
No, so it's good. We're going to get into that aspect also.
Absolutely, yeah. It's good to have water.
But it absolutely relates because you look at our community and, I'm a native Charlottean. I've grown up in the area. To be able to access some of these resources that you talked about with the greenways, the different aquatic centers we have, the parkland. Charlotte is getting built out, faster and faster every day. And a lot of the things that we've looked at is how can we be creative with, getting those big parcels that are big and empty out on kind of the outskirts. But when you look closer to Center City, those spaces aren't available. So what can we do to go in, and if we know a development is occurring, can we get in on the ground floor kind of deal? Because everybody understands and agrees that these spaces are important. It's just getting the, financial resources or the ability to build in these neighborhoods that are, popping up. That's the real challenge.
I could totally appreciate that. And as it relates to water, I'm in Huntersville, mm-hmm. and we have a Huntersville town-owned aquatic center. It's very right. unique to the area. But there's a shortage, consider we have a lake up there. There is a shortage of water Absolutely. Outside of the lake. And so I hear that all the time from SwimMAC, for example, mm-hmm. who's an avid swim organization here locally. Do you find that the need for that has continued to rise as folks are, hey, I want to get in the water, I want to swim, and there's not available resources?
It is. We're in a unique climate in that a lot of communities have HOA pools or an apartment complex will have, a private pool. But what we see more so is kind of the social equity issue of access to water. So if you don't have a boat or access to a marina on the lake, there's not a ton of public spaces that you can access. So we look at doing that. And a couple years ago, we opened the Ramsey Creek Swim Beach up at the park on Lake Norman. And things like indoor swimming facilities with these new regional centers that we're building, water is a big thing that we're putting in. There's so much demand in this region for public water. You can go and, every hotel around here has water. Most of the apartment complexes and HOAs have water. But some of those older neighborhoods that, didn't meet that, standard of having a community pool, those folks look to get in the water. And it's really a safety issue with all the water. You mentioned the lake. If you go out to one of these places or with flooding, the streams rise, it's a huge safety issue to be able to know how to swim. So that's a big push for us on the programming side also.
Wow.
So that's fantastic. So of the Mecklenburg County Parks and Rec facilities, what pools are available and what pools are on the way?
Sure. So we've got a couple indoor facilities and a couple outdoor facilities. The indoor facilities we have uptown, the Mecklenburg County Aquatic Center, which is truly a competition pool with the Olympics coming back into cycle. We've got some qualifying events coming up. So you'll see some large spectator events there. We host year-round swim teams. It does have a dive well where we have a 1 meter springboard that we use at that facility. So not the big diving that Huntersville has, but we do have some of those, you know, kind of entry level diving. So that's our first kind of flagship. You know, when people hear aquatic center, that's what they think of. We also have an indoor water park, which is Ray's Splash Planet, also uptown. So that's an awesome spot. It's all shallow water, so even if you're not a true swimmer, you could come and enjoy the water. And we do some cool programming there too, with, you know, learn to swim programs and things like that. So huge with birthday parties, general admission in the summer. You know, it's booming with camp groups, you know, churches, daycares, everybody coming out. And the third indoor site that we currently operate is the Merriandale Recreation Center. It's currently under renovations, so it's getting a facelift. It's been a number of years since we put, you know, a lot of capital dollars towards that. And it was time to kind of add on, you know, some amenities to that facility. So we're adding a fitness center, kind of revamping the rest of the locker rooms and the multipurpose space. So that's our three indoor sites. Our outdoor facilities include Cordelia and Double Oaks Pools. Those are outdoors. One is in the Noda area and one is on Statesville, just north of Uptown Charlotte. And then Ramsey, we talked about, is our beach that we operate. It is lifeguarded. You come in, come into the park, you go down, and it's you know, kind of cordoned off where you can use the beach. But it's an awesome place. I was up there earlier this week. Just beautiful.
Very good. So what do you guys, don't you guys have something going on just slightly northwest of Charlotte? Is there a... There's nothing going on?
I'm trying to think. So we have a couple new centers coming, and I don't want to spoil the rest of the conversation for you, but Eastway Recreation Center, which I will actually be working at, is our newest site, and it does have aquatic components.
Okay.
It's also got nature components, technology, traditional senior programming, just everything under one roof that Park and Rec does. And then in the very north, it's actually the township of Cornelius, is the second center of this type. So very similar amenities. That's in the planning stages now, and that'll be coming pretty soon also.
So when do those land?
So the Eastway Recreation Center, we anticipate opening at the end of next summer.
Okay.
And the North project is about a year behind.
Okay.
So both are under construction in some sense. Groundbreaking has not occurred yet on the north site, but Eastway's coming along. I was out there last week, and we've got walls up. We've got the roof on. They're about to start digging out the pit for the pool. So it's really exciting. It's moving along quickly.
Where is that on Eastway?
So it's between the plaza and North Tryon. So,
okay. Nice.
You know, we mentioned, you know, I'm from Charlotte. So landmark-wise, if you know where the Roses is on the plaza, you know, kind of at that intersection.
Yeah.
And then on the North Tryon side, it's between Kimbrell's and Roses. So most people over from the east side of town know where those landmarks are. And, you know, the light rail goes up through there. So it's a really booming area. And we're excited to kind of be the new tenants in town.
That sounds really cool.
That's really cool.
So where can we find out more information about these offerings at Eastway?
Yeah, eastwayrec.com is our website that we update pretty regularly on the process. Everything from community meetings of what types of amenities do you want to see in this center. Now we are starting to focus more on the programming aspect. We know what the spaces are going to be. We're pretty well locked into where the walls are going, things like that. But as far as what you can expect to see on a programming level, that is being developed now. So it's really exciting. We're really fortunate to have the types of amenities in there that we do. And you're going to see basically everything we do as Park and Rec incorporated into this one building.
That's pretty cool. So that's pretty progressive. I can't imagine the when you guys were initiating this and having these kind of focus groups, how did you come to land on, okay, we have a need for a multi-generational facility. Let's show off this one piece and let's make that the model going forward.
Yeah, great question. So we do master planning every few years, and we're currently just starting up a new iteration of that. And with our last master plan, as well as our last update to the master plan, you kind of see trends nationwide as what are people asking for in terms of recreation. And it was more of a one-stop shop as opposed to kind of our former model of having smaller community centers that might not have every amenity. So it's hard to tell you that, you know, you live in this neighborhood, you might get a swimming pool, but you don't want to swim. You want a nature center. And you know, vice versa, you might live in a community where, you know, you have some awesome multi-purpose space and a boxing gym. What we see now is that people are willing to travel a little bit further to get to these sites, whether it's via our greenway system, or, you know, ride sharing or the, you know, the light rail. So being able to serve a larger audience and build these larger centers, kind of consolidate some of our resources, is the trends that we saw that the community demanded, as well as what we were able to provide for them.
And just to clarify, public water versus like some of the private facilities around, this is something that the county has intentionally set aside dollars for. And so it's 100% covered. It's free of charge to folks.
So this, the model that we currently have in Mecklenburg County, the cost recovery that our Board of County Commissioners has kind of set for us, will be just fine for this facility. So our current aquatic facilities recover about half of the cost through revenues, fees. So when you pay your taxes and things like that, a lot of that, some of that dollars goes towards park and recreation programming. And what we basically subsidize in the facility is the operating costs. So when you come in and you use a specific amenity or a program, you're paying the cost for that program. It's a lot cheaper than in the private sector where you would have to cover a lot of that overhead also.
So not free, but severely discounted. If you had to match it to, okay, what am I going to pay for a private place? I'm going to double, triple the cost.
Yeah, and we're very conscious about not trying to undercut the private, you know, sector providers or some other nonprofit users in the group. We partner with a lot of organizations around here. We don't want to come in and say, you know, you offer swim lessons for $100, let's offer them for $25. you know, we don't want to run anybody out of business, but we also want to be able to provide that access. And we have a lot of creative ways of doing that through the scholarship programs. We have some sponsors who will come in and say, you know, I want to pay for this ball team or things like that. So you usually come in, most of our amenities you pay for a daily use or you can get a membership. There are some free programs, particularly on the senior side. And that's to be a senior center of excellence. We have to meet a certain number of those free programming opportunities. Same thing on the preschool programs or the therapeutic programs. Those typically recover a fewer percentage of cost.
Wow.
Well, fantastic. You guys are doing great work at Mecklenburg Park and Rec. So how many people on the staff, give us a sense of what kind of army you guys have at Parks and Rec?
So a lot of our army is behind the scenes. You know, we posted a Facebook video the other day of the maintenance crews clearing just a huge tree that fell down in one of our parks over towards St. Mary's Chapel. So a lot of those guys kind of sneak in and sneak out in terms that you don't see them because they're not teaching your swim lesson or taking you on a Segway tour.
Sure.
But our support and operations staff is, you know, majority of what we have. The recreation centers we have, as well as the nature centers, we have program staff at all those sites. But most of our folks are park rangers. They're the maintenance side of things. You don't think of, you know, necessarily needing a plumber on staff. But when you look at the, you know, number of restroom fixtures we have and the water fountains at these parks, or electricians. So a lot of those behind the scenes guys are kind of the unsung heroes.
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And, I don't know why I've just, so it just occurred to me, I'm thinking about my experience at Freedom and then Pearl Street, where
sure.
like when our kids go to play soccer, everyone brings their dog. And is that something that you guys permit so long as they're on a leash?
Yeah. So most of our facilities, we just have leash rules.
Yeah.
There are the dog parks where you can have, you know, off leash running around, and those
right.
are kind of scattered throughout the county. But
sure.
we understand, you know, in this day and age, four-legged friends are part of the family.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Most of our indoor facilities don't allow dogs unless they're service animals.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, at our outside parks, we just ask you to clean up after them, and
right.
you're good to go.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Good. And one more thing we talked about offline before starting the podcast is parking. Certain parks, and I know you're in the aquatic,
sure.
so but still, I feel like you're what you're sharing is of value, even if you don't have in-depth knowledge on this particular section.
Right.
But Freedom Park, for instance, the parking during soccer season and you know, when certain games are finishing up and new games are starting, is there anything that's in the works for trying to alleviate some of the congestion?
Yeah, it's not a unique problem to just soccer, for example. We see the same thing with our aquatic facilities if we're having birthday parties. And it's a little bit tougher for soccer. You know, you referenced that in that the way that soccer wants to run is you start a game on the top of the hour. So if you show up with your child, you know, you want to get there in time to warm up, and the game before you is not yet completed. So we have very kind of strict guidelines of what we do as far as park build out. So we don't want to have, you know, an overabundance of, you know, impervious materials,
right,
or things like that. We want to keep some of the treescapes. So at a park like Freedom, it's pretty well built out for what it can hold. So it's more so of looking at, do we reduce the amount of programming that we have at those sites, which typically the users don't enjoy, or do we kind of grin and bear it and look at some alternate, you know, parking locations, whether it's, you know, local partners down the street or, you know, street parking, things right. like that, of just sure. being mindful of this is a very, you know, in-demand facility. What do we need to do, or how can we be mindful and best manage that? So I don't have an answer for you
but it's
something that we're absolutely mindful of. And when we build these new facilities, you know, there's occupancy numbers that kind of dictate how much parking you should have. And we see what really helps is when people use the greenway to access the park. So if you want to access Freedom, for example, you can park at the metropolitan area. And it's, you know, less than a mile walk down the greenway, and it's beautiful, and to get to your soccer game that way. So being creative on the user's end is also, you know, really appreciated by us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Daniel, I'm curious, beyond the website you mentioned for the Eastway facility, which is fantastic and the first in more than 15 years.
Right.
So I think that's pretty cool. Where else can our listeners find more information about what you guys are doing?
Yeah, everything we do, you can find at parkandrec.com. So we're really fortunate to have that super generic website. And, you know, we didn't have to put Mecklenburg County or anything like that. So just parkandrec.com. If you search for it on Google, occasionally you'll come up with the Park and Rec TV show. But parkandrec.com is
us. Is it the and symbol or A-N-D?
A-N-D, so spell it out. Okay. Yep, parkandrec.com.
Yeah, it'd have been like the first one ever. Yeah, they probably got that early on.
It's amazing that we were able to get that, so... Very cool.
Very cool.
Daniel, how did you come to find your place with Mecklenburg Park and Rec?
Yeah.
What's your backstory? How did you come to find where you are today?
Great question. So I actually started in public health, and I was in Cabarrus County. So that was awesome to kind of get in. We did a lot of, you know, food and nutrition programming up there. And I'm from Charlotte. You know, I was a park participant growing up. I went to summer camp at Freedom Park. You know, my first swim lesson was at the Merriandale Recreation Center. So I always knew that I wanted to get back to Park and Rec. So I kind of fell into it in the sense that, you know, I didn't go to college thinking, you know, I'm going to graduate and go into Park and Rec. But it was an awesome opportunity that I had to start off actually part-time. And I said, you know what, I'm going to make the jump. So I came on full-time, started off programming. Worked into aquatics, which, you know, growing up, I knew how to swim, but I wasn't, you know, the year-round swimmer. But just being able to be part of a facility that serves the community is awesome, and, you know, really high on my list of motivation. So going into this Eastway and then after that, the North Rec Center, it's awesome to be able to see all of this finally come together into one facility. Even including a nature component. So while we think of nature as outside, it's really cool to be able to have a room inside where you kind of spark the imagination, or, you know, if weather permitting, you're not able to be outside, you can come in and still do some creative stuff. But then really the goal is to push people out the back door. So, you know, learning all that as, you know, a longtime resident, as well as a user myself, I can really appreciate that. These facilities are going to be heavily used and really impact the community.
So, Daniel, we work with a lot of people that relocate into Charlotte from other areas of the country. And sometimes folks are very pleased at our park system. But occasionally we'll hear folks from other areas of the country that maybe they're coming from a place like Boulder, Colorado, for
right.
instance, where there's so much outdoor activity going on, and they're they have a ton of parks and things to do outdoors, and they might feel like we're behind in that respect. What's your feeling? Given what you do and what you see, and where do you think we stack up amongst other competing cities?
Right. So, you know, it's really, you know, who's your favorite child kind of thing. You compare yourself to other folks, and we benchmark against those things. But different communities dictate different things. So
sure.
We see some who are heavy into tennis or, like you mentioned, a lot of outdoor activities. We're fortunate around here that we have, you know, the White Water Center is a facility that we don't have to operate and we don't operate, but it's an awesome outdoor amenity. We also look at, you know, the local YMCA system as partners of ours, and in the community they provide a very similar resource. So like I was saying earlier, we don't, you know, undercut these folks as far as pricing or anything like that. We really want to come in and fill the gaps. And what we're seeing as part of the master planning process in the last version that we had, there was a lot of kind of community demand for those greenways. And so we're seeing a lot of that built out. It'll be very interesting to see what the community asked for this time. We know that we have these two regional centers kind of in the construction process. But your guess is as good as mine going forward as to what the next big trend is.
We're excited about all that's taking place with the Eastway Center.
Oh, yeah.
And the Greenway. There's a lot going on. It's my feeling, and I've lived here for a long time, is that we're seeing so much positive change with Parks and Rec concentrated in the past 5 years. It's really unbelievable. So
yeah,
you guys are stepping up to the challenge.
Sure. Yeah, it's been awesome. And you know, the recession years ago, obviously affected some staffing levels, some funding levels in terms of what we're able to buy and things like that. But we're getting back to that point. Land acquisition never really slowed down. So we've been able to get some awesome nature preserves and parks kind of on the outskirts of town. So you'll see those in the coming years. We might not necessarily be operating them right now, but if you go on GIS websites, you can kind of see what we're doing as far as the plan for that. So it is exciting, and one of the big pushes has been to go ahead and acquire this land. And, 10 years ago, if you'd have said, we need to start putting pickleball at sites, we just said, well, really? Is there really that demand?
Is there a need for pickleball?
And now we just opened our first, pickleball specific courts up at the new Clarks Creek Park. So, it's interesting to see kind of those trends and where things go. The pickleball community was huge, and they come out and they advocate. And same thing with some of these other user groups, lacrosse or things that years ago we didn't necessarily design our turf fields to be able to accommodate.
Sure.
But now we're looking at, more flexible functional spaces that, we can get a variety of these sporting events on.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you guys have done a great job. We appreciate all your work. And in the north, in Cornelius, is that an adjoining to Ramsey Creek Park? Is that where that facility is going to go?
No, so it's on Old Statesville. The closest facility is, the closest park is Bailey Road Park.
Yep.
So it's just down the street from there. It's south of kind of the D9 Brewery kind of complex, north of Energy United. So it's an undeveloped parcel there. And we're going in it limited street frontage, but then the park opens up and it's kind of a linear, similar to the Eastway side, if you're familiar with, how that's laid out. But you'll come in off a main drag. You'll be able to see the facilities. You're going down the main street there. But as you kind of explore further into the park, you'll reach different amenities. There'll be trails, Greenway connection, everything like that. So,
which is phenomenal because Bailey Road Park does have that Greenway connectivity, which is huge as part of the planning process
for
that we're seeing. But it seems like that multi-generational facility, that would be huge in the north.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've done a lot of public planning meetings up there at Bailey Middle School. It's exciting to see the folks come out because they're Mecklenburg County residents, even though they're also Cornelius residents.
So, that's right.
We need to serve them, just the same as we do anybody else living in the county. So it's really exciting. We're fortunate that Cornelius does have a park and recreation department specific to them. So they're going to come in and I'm sure be players at the table. They already have been as part of the planning process. But as we go towards operating that facility, it's going to be really exciting. You mentioned the Greenway connection. That it's just awesome to be able to connect to other amenities. So you connect to Bailey Park, you might not necessarily have to build as many ball fields because you've got it just down the street. So, you know, we look at, you know, how saturated the market is in terms of what types of amenities we want to offer. And we're able to, through the Greenway program, kind of connect some of these parks and get people access to both.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's exciting stuff, man.
Good stuff. It is. Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that.
For sure.
Good stuff. Wow. Well, we very much appreciate you being with us today, Daniel. And we know who to contact if we need further information for our clients who are big swimmers, right? Yeah. Let's see Absolutely. What Daniel has on the docket.
There so we go.
We'll use the bat phone to get a hold of you if we need you. So thanks so much, Daniel, for joining us for this episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. I'm Scott with Mike Hagee. Thank you.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at pridemoreproperties.com.